was a draft of the amended personnel code, Chapter 29 of the Sussex County Code. That draft encompassed the changes that we are purporting to make to the personnel code, commonly referred to as within Sussex County. The work that's gone into the draft code includes about a year's worth of work, including myself, our legal counsel, the HR department, and we are recommending these changes to the ordinance. And we also went through a process where we solicited comments from staff. We held two workshops here in chambers where staff were allowed to come in and ask questions of us, including our legal counsel. And then we took a draft version to the personnel board. The personnel board also held a public hearing or a public meeting. And at the conclusion of that public meeting, they passed a motion 3-0 to recommend this draft back to the county administrator as outlined in the county code, to which now I am recommending to council. This is just a possible introduction of the draft ordinance, so I will stop there, and unless there are any questions, it's a pleasure of council to have this introduced.
Our personnel director here that can maybe explain what we're looking at?
Yes. HR Director Karen Brewington is here.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the personnel ordinance we worked on, as the county administrators had stated, for approximately 1 year. We included a work group of various directors within the county. And once we developed the personnel ordinance, we then held employee workshops. And we got feedback from those. Some of the changes that are within your packet, if you have specific questions, I can answer.
Questions of council?
Is there a synopsis you could give us? Most
are we looking to introduce this?
The entire ordinance was rewritten. So it was, let's go through a couple of the sections. Okay, section 29.3b. You'll notice that the positions are listed in the unclassified service, and they've been updated to reflect current positions and titles.
Okay.
Okay. We added verbiage for FMLA. The new protected classes in Title VII. Due process language was added for employees. We included, some sections had bereavement in two different sections of the ordinance. We included those together so it was easier to read by the employees. A lot of questions that we get from employees is, where is this located in the ordinance? And why are our personnel practices that we've been doing for years not changed in this ordinance? So we updated all of those to be reflective of our practices today and federal and state law.
Is it going to be, is it obvious then, the way you marked it, that what is new and what is not, then, you know, the answer to that question of the changes?
Changes are bracketed that have been deleted from the ordinance and underlined that's
where
new verbiage.
We've really made big changes, I see.
Correct. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, this is 3 decades of information that is old information. Laws have come out since then that require us to change this ordinance. That's federal, state law. Practices that we've been doing for years needed to be reflected in this ordinance. And this is a tool for employees to go back to and say, okay, I can look in this section and I understand, you know, what the due process is for me, what my rights are as an employee, rather than, you know, calling and saying, where is this information? It's easy accessible to them.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
Are we going to introduce an ordinance?
It's going to be introduced.
Okay, because just, I'm going to need time.
Yeah, this is our introduction.
Well,
fine.
Is it,
excuse me.
It's on the agendas for possible introduction?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it is a big deal. It is a lot of information. I mean, is it something that maybe we council members should have a week or so to try to review? There may be some things we'd want to address prior to going to a full public hearing. Sometimes it's easier to get things
before we
taken
introduce
care
it.
Of before it's introduced.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the process anyway? Once we do this today, how long does it take? What's the normal?
I'm saying it may be a little easier. It may it may be a little better for the process if we took care of some of our concerns prior to introduction.
I agree.
Ms. Deaver, what do you think?
Well, I know I need time, and probably that's a cleaner way to do it. I need time, and I guess it'd be easier to do, to put it in with, a consensus, so to speak. And I think we have less changes to be made.
What is the feeling of council? How much time do the rest of you need?
Oh, I wouldn't mind reading it. A couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we defer for 2 weeks.
Second.
On the introduction of this.
Yeah. Have a motion and a second. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Thank you. I do need the time. Thank you.
That's a yes, I assume.
Yes. Yes,
Cole.
Sir.
Yes, fine, but yes,
sir. Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried.
Right, bring it back in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Sir, back on the agenda. Thank you very much. And thank you for all your work.
Yeah.
I need to talk with you about it.
Next, Mr. Wilson.
Okay. County Administrator's report quickly. County Administrator's report for July 16, 2013. Per the attached Delaware State Police Activity Report for May, there were 4,384 total traffic arrests and 1,879 total criminal arrests. Of that, 864 were felony and 1,015 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Total hours spent on duty, 42% were spent on criminal investigations. Item number two, attached, please find the call statistics for the Fire and Ambulance Call Board for June 2013. There were 16,855 total calls handled in the month of June. Of those 911 calls, 79% were made from wireless phones. And item number three, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Barrington Park, a.k.a. Bishop's Landing, Ingram Village, and Vincent Overlook, Phase 3A, received substantial completion effective June 24, June 25, and July 2, 2013, respectfully. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Godwin, legislative update.
Mr. President, members of council, as you know, our General Assembly has adjourned midway through their session at June 30 of this year, and will reconvene again in January, which means that all bills that were not decided on will still be active when they reconvene in January. So what I'll do today is just give you a rundown of the bills we were watching, where they stand at the end of this session. House Bill 14 remains in the House Appropriations Committee. It didn't move. House Bill 27, which is a bill that we were anxious to see adopted, we'll have to resume our work on this in January because it did make it to the Senate must list, but it did not get acted on before they adjourned, which was about 2 a.m. on July 1st. Much to my dismay, I may add, I had worked pretty hard on getting this bill passed. It's through the House and over in the Senate, and we seem to have slowed down in the cogs of the gears over there in the Senate again this year as we did last year. So I have reached out to some senators to see if we can't get this thing moved in January. I will work on that diligently while they're out of session.
And what's the synopsis of that?
Excuse me?
Just collecting school
tax. It's our tax intercept bill.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
House Bill 44, which was the American flag bill, was signed into law on the 3rd of July. Let's see. House Bill 63, which is the constitutional amendment regarding farmers, remains on the House ready list. It never moved in the House. Senate Bill 58, the senior school property tax credit program, remains in the Senate on the Senate ready list, out of committee but not yet acted on. House Bill 150, which surprised me, it was defeated on the House floor. This was the raw milk bill. And I should add that I know we had some interest in that being the agricultural end of Delaware. And there was an amendment added to this bill, which seemed to be maybe the reason why it didn't succeed under consideration. In any event.
What was the amendment?
The amendment was to allow the raw milk to be sold in retail stores, when originally the thought was to allow a farmer to sell raw milk on his own farm property, and an Ellesmere representative added broadening of the scope to having the milk available in retail stores, and then the bill was defeated. So I'm just a little suspect as to how that whole situation developed.
So you think that the amendment was designed simply to kill the bill?
It certainly may have looked that way.
Okay. Very clear, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. House Bill 74, the large health care bill didn't move out of the House Health and Human Development Committee in the House. House Bill 95 has passed both sessions of, or both houses of the General Assembly and awaits the governor's signature. This is the Denrec lien bill, which allows Denrec to place liens on properties that have large liabilities. House Bill 35, this is the bill that would establish a casino in Sussex County, remained tabled in the House Committee, the House Gaming and Pharmaceuticals Committee. It did not move from the committee. House Bill 137, which is a bill that may change the way we calculate our employees' pensions, was stalled in the Senate Finance Committee. It didn't pass both chambers. House Bill 160, the aquaculture bill, has passed both chambers of the General Assembly and awaits the governor's signature. We talked somewhat about a resolution, a Senate resolution that Senator Venables was working on. That resolution did not get through. As a matter of fact, it didn't get out of the Senate, so there'll be some more time for us to look at that. I know there were some concerns about how that would affect. Basically, there were some concerns from this council about the details of the history behind the Glass-Steagall Act, which now we'll have some time to study that between now and January, because I would imagine that Senator Venables will still work that issue when the session reconvenes. Senate Bill 97, the bill that we watched late in the session, was passed by both chambers and signed by the governor on June 19th. So that wraps up where we stand this session with the General Assembly's performance.
Well, they did a fine job up there.
Really put people back to work, didn't they?
Yeah.
They addressed some major
issues. Thank you for your
issues,
diligence in those issues.
You want to elaborate on House Bill 97?
No.
No, sir, I would not. I would rather not elaborate on that bill.
Let's move right on.
Next, you have...
Yes, I have an ordinance for your consideration today. You charged me with the responsibility of developing an ordinance that would only address dog barking, not noise in general. The ordinances that we've looked at from our two sister counties to the north are both general noise ordinances that have animal noises contained in them. So I did not copy their ordinances. What I did is I took the ordinance, or the draft features of an ordinance that we had looked at a couple of years ago, and incorporated that into verbiage that should allow us to adopt a new chapter in our code. I don't know if you've read this. If you'd like, I'll read it for you. It's not very long. It's an ordinance to adopt Chapter 97 in the Sussex County Code, which shall be known as the Excessive Dog Barking Ordinance of Sussex County, Delaware. The ordinance goes on to explain what it's about. It says, whereas excessive dog barking has been a problem for some period of time in Sussex County, and whereas many Sussex County residents have sought relief from excessive dog barking by contacting police and their elected officials, and whereas Sussex County has determined to establish the following concerning excessive dog barking. Now, therefore, Sussex County Council shall hereby ordains the establishment of a new chapter 97 of Sussex County Code entitled Excessive Dog Barking. Section 1, Excessive Dog Barking, A, under that, this title shall be called the Excessive Dog Barking Ordinance. Section 2, the purpose of this chapter, certain terms and words hereby are defined. A, dog shall mean male or female dog, regardless of whether the dog has been spayed or neutered. B, owner, any person who owns, keeps, harbors, or has in his or her care, custody, or control of a dog. Dogs owned by a minor shall be deemed to be in the custody of the minor's parents, guardians, or head of household where the minor resides. Excessive dog barking is defined. Any dog that barks continuously for 30 minutes or more is considered excessive. Any dog that between the hours of 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. habitually engages in loud howling, barking, crying, whining, or any combination thereof. So those are the noises that we're after. Section 3, ordinance requirements. This ordinance requires that all dog owners to control their dogs barking and will be in violation of this section of Sussex County Code if their dogs bark excessively. Now, both other counties do have a waiver provision. And this, if you think about this, this is really a fair item, I believe, to be added, waivers. Any dog that is provoked by a trespasser, mm-hmm. be that a human or animal, or is intentionally teased and exempt from this code per this incident. The point is that many of us have dogs that kind of act quasi as watchdogs. We may have them chained or they may be near the front of our home, and if someone approaches, we want the dog to sound. Mm-hmm. So he would be exempt from that being a violation if he did that. Mm-hmm. Or if, in my own case, I know that we have a lot of deer walk by the dog's house, wakes the dog up, he's going to bark for a few minutes. So he's exempt from those kinds of issues. This ordinance shall be enforced by Sussex County Constable. Any person charged in violation of this ordinance shall have such case adjudicated by any justice of the peace court in Sussex County. Penalties. A person found guilty of violating any provision of Chapter 97 of the Sussex County Code by the justice of the peace court shall be fined as per following schedule. And we have $25 for a first offense, and the fines can go up to $300 if there are repeated offenses. I hope you, or I guess I'm trying to meet what you asked me to do with this ordinance, to be concise and to be directed only at dogs barking. So if you want, there's a suggestion, suggested ordinance.
Does that mean our constable has
clarification? Hold up, Mr. Wilson has a court floor.
Sir, our constable was called out at 2 o'clock morning. We got a barking dog. And the constable was called out. Does he have to sit there a half an hour to wait?
I would think those procedures would be a writ that we would compose in-house with the administrator and with your consultation as to how we would enforce and what our procedures would be.
Well, so, we got to have that. We should have that in writing somehow.
Well,
we're going to enforce that law.
Sure. Okay.
Well,
this is just a suggested ordinance.
Does that mean he's going to sit there half an hour and wait for that? See if that dog quits barking. He quits barking at 25 minutes. Does it count? Or what?
I would think again that those procedures would be processes and procedures that we could put in place as we desired.
Well, likely there are witnesses if we have complaints.
Okay, well, that'd be one witness against the other, maybe. Maybe one neighbor against the other, and they said, "Look, my dog, I've got my stopwatch on here. That dog stopped for 15 minutes. He started back up another 15 minutes, or whatever. Something else ran by there." I mean, this can be a hassle if you really want to look at it.
And isn't it the Kent County SPCA that enforces it? They were here. They talked to us about it, and they said really needed it.
I can tell you that this would not be included in the contract that we currently have.
Okay.
With Kent County SPCA.
So it doesn't affect them then?
This would be another service that we would provide outside the contract with Kent County SPCA.
Okay.
So it would be an additional expense, an additional operation. That's why I wrote in the our constable would be the enforcing person, because then it would not add more.
I think they were under the impression that it would help them in their job.
Mr. Cole, we have a question.
The question I have is that excessive barking, you got any dog barks continuous for 30 minutes, and then you've got any dog between the hours. So if your dog's barking for 30 minutes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's not a violation?
Yes.
It is a violation?
Yes.
So anytime. So I'm just wondering why the second part.
Well, the second part adds on, you know, howling, barking, crying, whining. Sometimes a dog can be making other noises. If it's late at night, it seems to have an extra intense measure of discomfort with the neighbors.
We're not concerned with the dog howling and crying and whining and the other things during the day. It's only at night.
Well, we can write it however you like.
No, it just seems a little confusing there.
I picked those words out of a previous ordinance that we had looked at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Questioned about that. It seems a little.
But it does seem that people who complain about a dog that was barking at 2 or 3 a.m., those complaints seem to carry a little more community disruption.
And this has got nothing to do with cruelty. So, in other words, if somebody sees a dog tied up for excessively long time and it's not barking, we can't use this word.
On that.
Okay, that's the SPCA people. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I just, I don't know if that seems a little confusing to me. It almost seems that it's only between 9 and 7.
You could actually.
It says 30 minutes, and then the next one says here's a time frame that we're doing it in. So
to make it simpler, you could actually drop number 2, paragraph 2, just drop that paragraph out and leave it.
Yeah.
That if the dog barks for 30 minutes or more.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Why leave it?
Bingo.
Why
limit? Right. Yeah. That would be my reading of this if I looked at this and said, well, it's only between 9 and 7. This dog's barking now at 2, and I don't have a case or something, so.
People work at night.
That would be just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Now, how far can this neighbor be away from this barking dog before he can complain?
Doesn't matter.
Again, all the details would have to be, this is just a structure. This ordinance would create a structure for rules. You either write them into the ordinance or they could be operational rules in the constable's office as policy.
Well, you're giving part of the structure there, Al.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find
I'm offering this as a suggestion. We can fashion it any way county council wants to.
Well, that's why I'm questioning you.
Okay.
You're offering this suggesting. That's why I'm asking you about what you're suggesting.
Well, Sam, why don't we just, here's another one. It's proposed, time is not of the essence on this. Why don't we put it on a future agenda and actually put down 15, 20 minutes on our agenda for discussion.
I'm really not sitting here saying I'm against having a barking dog law because mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about daytime, but at 2 o'clock in the morning, dog is next door raising cane, you're trying to sleep. Of course, in the summertime, you've got air conditioning on, wintertime, you get heat on, so halftime.
Okay, Everett.
Anymore, but it's still a problem.
Let me just run, this might bring it to a head. We can take things out of this at the public hearing process after it's over. We can't put stuff in. So we would be concerned at this point, I think, if there's anything we think that's left out.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
is there anybody who thinks that anything's left out, or is it like Hal says, this gives him the basis for the county to set up a policy? And then the policy will... You have this ordinance as its backup, right?
Well, the policy needs to follow what is in the ordinance itself.
Right.
So if we're going to go to someone and say that they're in violation, it has to be stated in the ordinance that they're in violation, because otherwise they wouldn't have due process, wouldn't know what they're being charged with.
Mm. Well, is there anything that we should put in now that it's not in before we introduce it, or do we introduce it like this and we could take, like where we just discussed number two in excessive dog barking, we just leave it 30 minutes?
There was discussion about removing number two, why don't we just come back maybe on another agenda and putting this in without this, and Mr. Godwin can then have it in final form.
Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Godwin, you're to be applauded, I think, for bringing us something that is simple that can be read by the public. I think there's a lot of criticism about bills being too long and complicated, but herein lies the problem that it then maybe is said to be incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any wisdom in letting Mr. Godwin work with the constable's office in structuring what they would see as the policy that would go along with this?
So a proposed policy along with a proposed ordinance, and bring it up in a week or two and look at it one more time? That sounds makes sense. And we can see how it all goes together, fits together like a puzzle.
And see if they want to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and all that.
But I also applaud you for your ordinance writing. I think that we ought to have a new title for you.
Do you think...
ordinance writer.
In all fairness, do you think with you and Mr. Parker here, is 2 weeks enough time? Do you need...
Sure.
What do you think?
It's not complicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask the question.
Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Wilson, do you think they should go out at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I would certainly, a barking dog bother me more at 2 o'clock in the morning than would 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll guarantee you that. So that's the time. And if you're going to hear the dog barking, you got to be there. If you don't hear it, you can't say, well, it's hearsay. I mean, the other guy said, the dog didn't bother me. Live right in the house. He said,
We're not hunting for them.
Councilman Wilson, I would think that possibly the first step would be to take the complaint from whoever complained,
right.
Visit with the complainer, find out what the details are, and if it's the next-door neighbor's dog, go talk to the next-door neighbor next. And maybe they're not aware of the dog. As the lady explained to us from Kent County, they have a lot of mediation where they just go talk to folks and the mm-hmm. problem goes away.
Yeah.
Those and I know that our constable is a master of that.
Mm-hmm.
They've done very well without
very
teeth
well.
In code many times to gain compliance just by being friendly and approaching our neighbors as they are our neighbors.
Yes,
and I would think that would be the very first approach in this process as well.
Sure.
Do constables are they on duty 24 hours right now? They're not. We don't have anybody going out doing anything at night right now. So this will add a different aspect to how we have constables available. Would you designate a certain constable each night or each day that would be available? to respond to this complaint after Todd gets a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning?
You can handle it the next day.
Yes. One of the things you remember one of the things you have to remember, law enforcement rarely witnesses a crime. State police all the time go out, question witnesses based upon questioning the witnesses, then brings the complaint. I would anticipate the same with our constables.
Sure.
They would hear that there was a dog barking in the middle of the night, maybe a witness then decides to follow up with a complaint, then pursue from that. The constable doesn't actually have to hear it, just the way our police officers don't have to.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we then, if we could put it back on the agenda, Mr. Lawson, in 2 weeks, if that's enough time. And if they need more time, that's fine, too.
Just sure. In the future, yeah. Just
bring it back with any changes that we want to make to the proposed ordinance and the policy to go with that, so we look at it all one time. Understood. Makes sense. That's everybody okay then? Okay. Yeah, fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next, sir.
Mr. President, members of council, I'd like to invite Bob Schoonover to join me here at the podium as we discuss with you a contract to purchase some vehicles.